Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, who's about to bring us the Vatican Week in review. Joan, welcome back on this sunny November day.
And a big holiday in Rome, in the Vatican, in all of Italy. November 1st is All Saints' Day. It's an important day. Someday we could almost like do an entire show just on the feasts of All Saints and All Souls and how the Church and the Italians celebrate it. For example, this is the day, obviously, Mass is obligatory, and this is the day when people go to the cemeteries, they clean graves, they bring fresh flowers, whole families may gather, parents, grandparents, if they have the graves of parents and grandparents. And the interesting thing is Rome does set up special buses to bring people to the cemeteries. There's quite a number in Rome, the most famous being Verano, and that's the cemetery about which we could almost really do a special program right adjacent to the church of San Lorenzo, St. Lawrence, outside the walls. That's where several hours from now, the Holy Father will be saying Mass. And it's very interesting because this is a tradition, Mass at Verano Cemetery, that was started by John Paul in the 90s. And then Pope Benedict visited Verano once, and he said Mass. It was not on the November feast. It was on the feast of St. Lawrence, if I'm not mistaken. But he did not go on the November 1 holiday. And so here we have Pope Francis resuming that tradition. But it is interesting to see how the huge numbers all over the country, you know, we're sitting here in Rome, but all over the country, and with huge numbers of people going to visit the graves of their loved ones. And then
great family moment.
Yes,
which takes
exactly.
Us to Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely. Last weekend, I certainly hope our listeners got to see some TV. Whether you actually went online, whether you got the Vatican television coverage in your home, it was an amazing weekend. Saturday, they were like 150,000, 200,000 people in St. Peter's Square for an afternoon celebration with Pope Francis that went 1 hour, and this was the Pope's doing.
It was all in the context of the Year of Faith.
Of Faith, one of their penultimate, if not maybe the last celebration within the Year of Faith, which ends, of course, this month of November. There were witnesses by young married couple, people giving testimonials, young married couples, people who'd been married 50 years, had their entire families there. A migrant whose ship had capsized coming from North Africa, he was saved by a family. He and that family were there. Young families who, like in the neocatechumenal movement, are going out into the world as missionary families. So very interesting, intense, riveting stories coming out of that weekend. But actually, the part of the weekend that went viral was the little boy who, as I'm sitting here, I don't know his name. I've been trying to find it. I'm going to guess he was 5 or 6 years old. I'm a Latin American country. I think Chile or Peru. I'm not sure. Anyway, this little boy just kind of left the family he was with, and he was with a whole bunch of children. He just kind of hopped up on the stage, and he had to have been on the stage an hour and a half. He held onto the Pope's hand. He sat next to him. He sat in his chair. And at one point, he actually brought one of the guests up. He went over and got a little girl in a family. He took her hand and brought her right to the Pope's side, where, of course, he'd been standing. But it was a wonderful weekend Mass on Sunday, of course, the Angelus. And the Pope's basic message was the joy of the faith. And he asked some of the different families. He'd say to them, how's the joy in your family? As if it was like a medical, you know, condition. He talked about the beauty of a loving marriage, family life lived in faith. And the Pope is always very realistic. Pope Francis knows the joys, but he also knows the moments of suffering, the moments of difficulty, economic as well as physical. And he makes that clear to people. And I think that's one very strong reason why people feel so close to the Holy Father.
So on Tuesday, Joan, we had some news about a Twitter account. Yeah?
Yes, that was an awful lot of fun. Monday was kind of fairly quiet, but Tuesday, the Osservatore Romano wrote in its October 29th edition, they quoted the Pope's tweet from Sunday. It was on October 26th, actually, as the Osservatore says, at 9:32 p.m., the at Pontifex Twitter account reached a milestone of 10 million followers. And the Pope said on his Sunday tweet, "Dear followers, I understand there are now over 10 million of you. I thank you with all my heart and ask you to continue praying for me." And the numbers are rather phenomenal because the observatory has been in touch with the people who, you know, take care of the numbers on this type of thing for the Pope. And it's estimated that 60 million people read the papal tweets due to retweeting. And I've done that myself. They're all significant, but some are just these mini wonderful catecheses.
Wednesday. Meeting with the pilgrims from across the world.
Exactly.
St. Peter's Square.
And you know, you have to ask.
It's a great moment with people, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful for them. It's wonderful for him. It's a mutual admiration society, if you think about it. People are really listening to what he says. They know they're in the presence of the Pope, but they're paying a very great attention to what he says. And Pope Francis makes his messages very listenable. For example, he's been reflecting on the Creed, and he talked this week about the communion of saints. But he makes the communion of saints, instead of being words you say automatically when you pray or something you learned about decades ago in school, he makes the communion of saints. You and I are part of this communion. He makes it a very wonderful reality that, as he said, we all share in baptism. And after there was a significant meeting, actually, in a small room of the Paul VI Hall after the audience, which, of course, was outside in St. Peter's Square. And I look at these audiences. I mean, they're small when there's like 50 or 55,000 people. What are they going to do? It's a glorious day right now in November. What are we going to do when it's not glorious and it's cold and it's raining? Are they still going to have tens of thousands of requests for a Wednesday audience? And where they can put them, because indoors there's no space that would account. So we will see. The coming weeks and months, we will see. But back to Wednesday, Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, for many, many years in the Vatican Secretary of State, he's now the president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, and he brought a group representing the various religions that are present in Iraq. And the Holy Father met with them separately after the audience in this small room and obviously made an appeal, the nth appeal for peace in that country. And so we had a delegation of Shiites, Sunnis, Christians, Yazidis, which is a religion I learned about and can't remember that much in Iraq, yes, and then Sabites. There also was a piece of good news regarding the Secretary of State, the new one, Archbishop Pietro Parolin. He was not present October 15th when Cardinal Bertoni turned the baton over to him because of the surgery, but he was released from the hospital. He's in northern Italy with relatives and will be coming to Rome soon. A very esteemed, beloved man in diplomatic circles, multilingual. So the people.
Amount of experience of the Secretary of State.
Oh, enormous. In fact, I mean, when the Pope named him, he was at that precise moment the papal ambassador nuncio to Venezuela. So
this, in a sense, brings us to the next story, doesn't it?
Yes, amazing. Because Thursday, the press office announced, Father Lombardi announced, what had been in the papers as conjecture, and that is that Pope Francis will indeed hold a consistory to name new cardinals in February. And, I mean, if you look at what else was announced, there's going to be the entire College of Cardinals in Rome for about a 10-day or two-week period. So there's going to be a consistory for new cardinals. Who will they be? We don't know. And that'll be February 22nd, the Feast of the Chair of Peter. And I think we can safely say that Archbishop Parolin, mm-hmm. Secretary of State, will be one of those new cardinals. It'll be a mixture, as it always is, of metropolitan archbishops and people in the Roman Curia. And then you're going to have a meeting of, there's meetings before and after the consistory on the 22nd, of the, there's going to be a meeting of the 8-member Council of Cardinals, that advisory body that Pope Francis has set up and has made a permanent structure in the Vatican. They will be meeting. Then you will have the 15-member Council of Cardinals for the study of organizational and economic problems of the Holy See. I've never worked out that acronym, but in any event, they will also be meeting. And then you will have a meeting of the Council of the Synod of Bishops. And it seems, by the way, interestingly enough, for the synod in next October in 2014.
It's an extraordinary synod.
It's an extraordinary synod. And it seems that the Pope and the synod, the council that's setting this all up, have decided to get input from the parish level. That's going to be phenomenally interesting. Just imagine the input. I think it'll be a bishop asking his pastors to get input from their people. I'm not sure what kind of questions will be asked or anything. Get input from the people in a parish that will go to the bishop. He will probably refine it and then, you know, send it to Rome. That's something we're all looking forward to. And then also on Thursday, the Holy Father received a group called the Circolo di San Pietro. Circolo is a word which can mean circle or club, actually. And this organization, it's known here, it is Italian, so it's known by that name, translated St. Peter's Circle, if you will, founded in Rome in 1869 through the efforts of a couple of very dedicated and enthusiastic young men from families of Roman nobility. They just wanted to witness, tell the whole world about their loyalty and love for and fidelity to the Pope and to defend him in difficult moments. So, I mean, we're going back to 1869, and there were difficult moments between the Church and Italy at that time, the confiscation of papal properties to create what was the Kingdom and now the Republic of Italy. So today the Circolo is basically a charitable group, and they distribute 50,000 meals every year in three kitchens in Rome. So obviously the Holy Father not only thanked them for the wonderful charitable work they do, charity being at the center of his papacy, really, he encouraged them to keep up their work, which also includes hospitality to parents whose children are cared for at a hospital very near to where we are seated, Bambin Gesù, a pediatric hospital. So that was Thursday, brings us to the weekend, and we know that the Holy Father this afternoon will celebrate Mass, and then in coming days he prays on the tombs of his predecessors. Oh, I did forget to mention, Thursday morning there was a delightful surprise in St. Peter's Basilica. There's a Polish group that has Mass every Thursday morning at the tomb of John Paul in the St. Sebastian Chapel in St. Peter's Basilica. And guess who the presider was Thursday? Pope Francis showed up, so obviously some people had informed him about that, and he knows a lot more than we think, doesn't he? But that's so great. He just walked over from Santa Marta, went in the back entrance of St. Peter's, as a lot of us do, and all of a sudden, by the way, I'll be your presider today. So a lovely, very personable, typically Pope Francis moment.
Thank you
indeed.
Very much, Jen.
See you next week. It's going to fly by.
And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome.